My name is Marcus Hanalei Marzan, and I'm the cultural resource specialist at Bishop Museum. So the cloak and mahiole, the helmet, of Kalaniopuu are very significant objects in that they were the personal garments of High Chief Kalaniopuu. And for a high chief, the preservation of their mana and to protect themselves from any kind of ill will from other people was very important, and an ahu'ula represented their status as the chief of that place. So during the time of Captain Cook's arrival to Hawaii and his introduction to High Chief Kalaniopuu, Kalaniopuu takes off his own personal garment, his ahu'ula, his cloak, as well as his mahiole, and presents it to Captain Cook and places it on his head and shoulders. This is a very significant event in that it recognizes that Kalaniopuu sees Cook in an equal status to himself, someone that he feels is close enough to himself that has the right to wear the garment of Kalaniopuu. So that's a very rare occasion when the sharing of clothing outside of a family, a member, was allowed. So that was a very significant event. After the greeting of Captain Cook by Kalaniopuu, he presented him other garments of significance as offerings to Captain Cook, as well as other commodities, food and kapa, and other cordage and different kinds of materials afforded to Captain Cook and his crew. But because of the time period of Makahiki and the time period that occurs afterwards when Captain Cook comes back because of bad weather and his return, there's all different kinds of discussion of what really took place during that time period. It's all speculation because we don't have documentation of the reasoning for certain things to occur, but it identifies Cook in a different light, especially in some of his actions that he does to Kalaniopuu in trying to lure him to his ship and basically kidnapping him and the rest of the community, seeing that, and that's what happens in the moments right before Captain Cook gets killed. But before that, the interaction of Kalaniopuu and Captain Cook at the initial inception of meeting was the significant bond that was created between the two people, between the culture of Hawaii and the West, and then all continuing on to the present with the connections to Te Papa, all of the relationships that have been built over the years and generations of time, and across the globe from Hawaii to England and England to New Zealand and New Zealand back to Hawaii. All of the relationships that have occurred all tell the story of Kalaniopuu.
Which leads me to the next question about what happened to the garment after they had gone back to England.
Upon return to England, the garments made their way into the hands of a collector of that time period. His name was Sir Ashton Lever. And he had his own personal collection and museum that he created over his many years of collecting. He later in his life had to sell off his collection because of financial woes. So it was auctioned off, and all of the contents traveled to another hand. And a couple years later, a similar thing occurred with that owner, and the things were sold at auction to the highest bidder. So a lot of those things dispersed to different corners of the world, and the cloak and helmet made its way into the hands of a Lord Roland Wynd. He was the second Baron St. Oswald in England, and he and his family cared for that for many years until 1912, when the family chose to gift that, the cloak and helmet, to the Dominion Museum, the predecessor of today's Te Papa Tongarewa Museum, the National Museum of New Zealand.
And then how did you guys and OHA get involved?
So over the years, there have been community groups and personal visits of people of Hawaii to Te Papa and to specifically see the cloak and helmet of Kalani Opu'u. Because of either personal connections or familial connections or just cultural sharing between the people of New Zealand and the people of Hawaii. And that being one of the things that binded everyone together. So that was definitely some of the history of Kalani Opu'u and the community interactions with Kalani Opu'u over the years. But OHA and Bishop Museum and Te Papa were more in recent conversations building off of different events that were occurring to bring back these two pieces for presentation or display here in Hawaii. And Te Papa was gracious enough to see that these two pieces were significant enough for them to allow them to leave New Zealand, because they do consider them very, very special and important parts of their collection. And the idea of it leaving must be of appropriate and significant status to allow that to occur. So we were very fortunate that they felt that Hawaii and Bishop Museum was an appropriate place for those two pieces to travel to.
And then can you talk about the makeup of these two, the feather work and all of that?
So the cloak of Kalani Opu'u is made just like other garments, other feathered cloaks and capes that exist in our collection and around the world from Hawaii. It has a backing made out of olona. Olona is Hawaii's strongest natural fiber and one of, if not the strongest natural fiber in the world. And it was used to make cordage and all of the netting that was used for the backing of the cloak. Then the feathers were also gathered from various places and sources across the islands and by the kiamanu, the bird catchers. And they would acquire all of the feathers and the feathers would be given to their chief, and then the lesser chiefs would gift feathers to the higher chief, and it would make its way up the chain until the high chief has a large store and of materials that they could use for their creation of different things. Once a chief had the feather resources available to them, as well as all of the cordage and the netting resources at their availability, they had skilled practitioners construct the ahu'ula, so with the net backing and then tying all the individual bundles of feathers to the surface. And that would be the same thing for the helmets. So there would be skilled people that would go out and harvest the ie'ie roots that would make the foundation for the helmet, that would make it strong and rigid, and then the feathers would be also acquired and gathered over time, and then the application of the feathers to the surface of the helmet to complete the final look.
And then, should anyone ask for their inner geek, what kind of things have to happen for this to be transported here?
The feathered cloak and mahiole will be traveling to Hawaii in temperature-controlled and conservation-approved travel crates and crating on the interior. It's institutional practice for Te Papa, as well as most museums around the world, to have it travel in conditions that are similar to what it was cared for in the home institution. So the maintaining of that environmental conditions helps it to maintain that consistency, and it doesn't change the conditions. Definitely can hurt and deteriorate objects depending on the kinds of conditions that it's introduced to. So the humidity can make a huge difference in the growth of mold or deterioration of the fibers, and heat can also do the same thing. Light definitely changes and changes colors. That's why when you leave something out in the sun for too long, it fades because of the strong light reactions to the materials. So all of those elements are all, and those conditions are all cared for and strictly maintained so that the preservation of the object is the priority.
And will that affect how long it'll be on display or how often it'll be on display here in Hawaii?
Yeah, so when it comes to Bishop Museum, it will be on display in Hawaiian Hall. We don't have an exact time frame of when and how long it will stay out. We know it will come out on and be on display for its formal presentation on March 19th to the general public. And we haven't determined the time frame on when it should come out off of display for a resting period and then return back into the hall for display. We still have to work those details out at the moment. To me, this is a very significant thing, the return of the cloak and helmet of Kalaniopuʻu, in that it represents a time capsule of history, a time capsule of resources, a time capsule of relationships that have occurred over over the time span that it since it's left Hawaii in 1779 to the present. All of those things that make up its history and its journey across the world and its traveling home back to Hawaii is a very important and significant thing we should all remember. And the opportunity to be introduced to some of those aspects, especially to the next generation, since something like this hasn't returned to Hawaii in a very, very long time, to have that reconnection to of the past to the present and into the future.